Hello, you're listening to Mormon Channel Daily, brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I'm Jennifer Stagg, and boundaries are something that we need to set in all relationships in our lives, and we want to be giving of ourselves in a loving relationship. But it's also important to set those boundaries so that both people in the relationship, whether it's a family member or a spouse or another kind of loved one, both of them are respected in the relationship. Well, Carrie Ann Dyer is a licensed clinical social worker, and she's joining me today. Thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, you're welcome.
So first, let's just talk about what a boundary is.
It's a property line between what's me, what's you, what I need to take control of, and what you need to take control of. So what is not a, it's not a rule. It's not something we compromise on. It's what exists to make a relationship healthy. It's the expectations. It's the dynamics that allow the relationship to be protected from bad behavior or not taking control of your property.
What are the problems that you can run into in a relationship if there aren't boundaries set?
I always say, you know when your boundary's been crossed, when you start to feel angry, resentful, anxious, feeling like you're taken advantage of. And then that person, the person that's in that position where you're not saying, hey, this is the boundary, they start to feel like they're selfish, that they're using, that there's, both people will notice there's something wrong with this relationship and something's not right.
So today we're going to discuss 8 simple ways that you can set boundaries in a relationship. Mm-hmm. So the first one we want to talk about is stating preferences. Tell me about that one.
Most people are really surprised to think of some of these ways as boundaries, but simply by saying, I'm sorry, I don't want to do that, or I would prefer not to do that, or I don't like, I'd enjoy, or I disagree. Those are boundaries that say to your loved one or your partner, this is where the fence is right here. This is something I don't like.
And then showing truth. Explain that one.
I think a lot of times we have a hard time being honest about the way we're affected. We may say, oh, sure, I'll go to that movie, when what we really mean is, I'll go, but I want to go on a walk. I'd prefer that. Or, you know, someone may hurt our feelings and we just kind of pretend, go on, you know, I'm the good friend, I'm the good wife, I'm the good sister, I'm going to just be super nice, instead of showing, ouch, that hurt, or that's hard, or that's not really what I want, or that's not going to help us in our relationship. So it's saying things like, I am hurt, or I am exhausted, or I am disappointed.
That one, I think, is probably a hard one for a lot of people to do, because you want to make the other person happy, and there are areas where you need to compromise, but at the same time, it is important to be truthful if there's things going on that are bothering you, right?
Right, exactly.
Okay, the next one, consequences.
Mm-hmm. But not everybody, and you'll see some of these get a little harsher as we go on. A lot of people will not respond to you saying, that hurts my feelings. They may not get what you're doing when you say this is yours and this is mine and you've crossed over this property line. So sometimes you have to be pretty explicit about saying, if you continue to talk to me this way, I have to leave the room. Or if you yell at me, then you'll need to find another place to sleep. Or if you can't control your spending, I'm going to cancel the credit card. Or if you're late again without calling, I will eat dinner without you. So that consequence of, I've told you, this is my preference, and this is what's going to happen if you're not able to respect that property line.
Is it important to then follow through with those consequences?
Of course.
Rather than, you know, I think sometimes that can be a hard one. You know, it's sometimes a little bit easier just to stand up for yourself, but then to actually follow through with that is a whole other thing.
Yeah, it's scary. And you know, one of the reasons that it is hard is because if all along all you had to do is I don't like, then, you know, this person's amenable to all your needs. But when you have somebody that isn't being amenable and you have to start setting up for, here's the boundary, there's conflict, you may get pushback from somebody saying, no, I'm sorry, I think you're being, they may call you selfish, or why are you trying to make a big deal out of this? It gets hard.
Number 4 on our list is emotional space. Yeah. What's emotional space?
Yeah. Emotional space is the idea that you can't be emotionally close to someone that's hurting you. And if someone doesn't realize that, then you have to be able to show that to them. That idea of, if you're going to punish me when I share my deep feelings, then I don't feel like I can share them with you. Or when your voice is calm, I can share with you again. Or I'm so hurt by that last comment that I don't really know what else to say. Or if you criticize me, I feel unsafe. And if you're unsafe, I don't feel like I can really share what's going on with me. So saying to that person that you're not really going to get very far if you can't be safe with me, if you can't be respectful.
On the flip side of that, physical distance.
Yeah. Well, and I think, again, these are getting more and more.
Yeah.
They're getting firmer. Physical distance. If someone's yelling at you and you say, I'm leaving, and if you yell at me again, I'm going to go stay at the Johnson's house, and I will tell them why I'm there, and they will know. And then that person knows, once you're gone, oh, they left. They did it. They really left. So in a more drastic sort of kind of way, when you really are not just emotionally unsafe, but physically unsafe, I mean, you leave, you go to a shelter, you leave, you go to a hotel, you move back in with your family, whatever it is, but it's just not safe for you there. And so you need to leave.
Sometimes you think physical distance is just a breather. Sometimes it's, mm-hmm. let's just separate for a few minutes, go in different rooms,
exactly.
gather our thoughts, compose mm-hmm. ourselves a little bit, and then come back and meet in the middle and have a more structured conversation about mm-hmm. things.
Yeah, and that's actually another kind of boundary, which is like time. It's extending that physical distance. It's extending what's going on to say, okay, maybe this conversation right now didn't work, but let's work it out over some time. Let's see what happens if we take some time to rebuild trust. Let's see what happens if I do need to go cool off in another room and you have to say, and I'll be back or whatever.
And yeah. What about other people?
Obviously, I'm a therapist, so I see a lot of people that they just can't set a boundary. It gets too heated too fast, or they're too afraid, just fear shutting them down. So they do need someone either to help them do that, like a therapist, or they need someone to help support them while they do that, or someone to help be kind of a go-between while they're doing that. Whether it's getting your sibling when you go talk to your mom about something, or it's actually, you know, going to find a therapist or a mediator or something like that.
Kind of somebody in their corner.
Yeah, and maybe not as much you're in my corner. That is important sometimes to have that support, but let's make sure this boundary exists.
What are examples of bad boundaries to have?
Sometimes when we think about boundaries, we get confused with rules. You know, so boundaries aren't, they're not set in the heat of the moment. They're not set in anger. They are enforceable. They're something that you can follow through with. They are adjustable based on behavior. They're appropriately severe. So anytime you don't have that, then you've probably got a bad boundary. But an example, as some people do sort of this on again, off again boundary kind of thing. Like, oh, today I'm going to have the boundary, but tomorrow I'm just going to like let it slide and see if your behavior improves, even though you haven't shown it's going to improve. Or the preemptive strike of, if you ever do this before anyone's ever, you know, actually crossed the line, if you ever do this, then you're in trouble, which that's more of a threat than anything. Or there's sort of the Fort Knox sort of thing where instead of saying, oh, here, welcome onto my property, step all over my grass, you swing the other direction completely and you say, here's Fort Knox, try to even knock on this door. We've got barbed wire, we've got guns at the front. If you come anywhere close to this awesome, super protective boundary, then you'll know it. So a lot of people get confused, and I think that's what happens when you don't have good boundaries, is you're nice and you tolerate until it's too much. And then suddenly you find yourself saying, you're too much, you've hurt me too much, and the relationship is over before you've ever taken care of it.
What final advice would you have for somebody about setting boundaries in their life?
I think if you're going to set boundaries, you need to be real about what's yours to own. And your part to own is that your feelings are being hurt, or you're being exhausted by someone in your life, that maybe there needs to be better boundaries. So being real that, yeah, it's time to do something about it. And my part, I can blame them all day long, but my part is owning my feelings and choosing to do something about it.
Well, Carrie Ann Dyer, thank you so much for joining us. Wonderful advice.
Thanks.